This is Brian Meador from East Carolina University. You are listening to The Sports Objective, the official, unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. Very special night, our regional preview, our special, if you will, with us, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you, man?
What's going on? It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Super Dave. Actually, no, it's not Super Dave. You remember him, Super Dave Osborne?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I think he passed away, didn't he? So I'm still alive. Maybe his career is dead.
You are still alive. That's true.
I hope so. If not, it's weekend at Bernie's. Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, dude?
Fired up for some postseason baseball. We're here in less than 16 hours to at least scheduled first pitch. We'll see when it actually happens.
And yesterday was National Bubba Day. Corey Glore, I know you're here. That's why you're here tonight. Not about the regionals. We're talking about National Bubba Day. What do you think, my friend?
I mean, I can't believe I missed it. I'm sorry, Bubba, but happy day to you yesterday. I feel heartbroken that I did not do anything for you. Consider this my gift.
I was getting ready to say you can make it.
I
up
appreciate
tonight,
that. I went through National Bubba Day without you saying anything. It was hard to sleep last night.
Yeah, he was waiting for the shout out. He never got it. It slipped through, but my people did not inform me in a timely manner.
You didn't get the memo, right? So we'll let you off the hook. All right. Well, let's talk some baseball. I know that you. This is the moment we've been waiting for. I know that today, all the coach speak, every single game is important, but this is what we've been waiting for, the regional. We have fans coming back, and of course, this time of year, we have staff meteorologist Kyle Barber, and I'm sure he can tell us the weather forecast for the weekend and when we're going to play our first pitches, but Corey,
sure, I'll do it. Wait a minute. I just consulted with Ollie Wilson. It's going to rain.
Okay. So, Corey, do you have any kind of idea if we're going to play a game tomorrow? Because it's been raining yesterday. It rained today in Greenville, and it's supposed to rain tomorrow. So what's your pick for the game? Do you have an idea? Can you get a crystal ball here for us?
I think they're going to play a game tomorrow. I mean, they have not made any call yet. They will definitely wake up and take a look at the radar, get to the park before the NCAA is they're the ones that will make this call now. They will decide how the schedule forms from this point forward. I don't think anybody involved with this first game wants to start and then have to stop. And so not day one of this regional. So if they have to push the game back into tomorrow evening, even to tomorrow night, they probably will. And then they'll recess the schedule moving forward from there. But you get through tomorrow and hopefully get one of these two games in, then you can get through the rest of the weekend fine because the forecast looks pretty good moving forward. So, but yes, it's a regional in Greenville, and that means rain is here. So it is the main talking point for many folks, unfortunately, heading into our third straight time doing this.
Corey, what about the very fact of the speaking of the weather? Is there a time limit for the NCAA, say a start time of 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock? Is there a certain time limit, the latest that we can go? Is there a curfew, in other words?
I think that goes in coordination with the city. I remember in 18 when ECU and South Carolina and the winners bracket game started, I believe that was a 9 o'clock start on a Saturday night. So there are not going to be many instances where they'll try and play later than that. The schools obviously have to sign off, but there's also a city element to that. And, you know, I don't think you're talking about a, 11 o'clock start time for a game. Like, I'll say that. Like, they will operate within the bounds of realism here. If things get pushed around in a noon, the start time doesn't happen mid-afternoon into evening. For getting this regional underway, they're not going to go crazy wild with a start time. That, like, if they need to play three games on Saturday to get this thing started, they will. But they're not going to go deep into an early morning for opening up the regional.
So we can't have midnight madness.
Well, Southern Miss down at the Conference USA tournament in Ruston, Louisiana.
Yeah, which floored me. And Conference USA signing off on that is pretty insane to me.
Because it was almost 1 a.m.
Yes, it was. I think it was 12:15 Central Time when they started that game. I can't believe those schools in that conference signed off on that. They wanted to get day one. I believe that was day one. Maybe it was day two there, one of the two. They wanted to get that on to try and stay on schedule. But you're still talking about 18 to 22-year-olds, and that's not right. Like, that's a bad look for Conference USA.
Yeah, for the team in the loser's bracket. The team in the winner's bracket didn't have to go again until the next night, but that loser's bracket team had to come on out and play that afternoon.
Yeah, then that was Western Kentucky that wound up losing that game, and I don't think we heard from them again shortly after that. So, yeah, I'm that will not happen here. I'll make that stand pretty strong right now. I don't think there any of these four coaches will be in the right will be thinking that that's a possibility here.
Bubba and I were hoping for Midnight Madness for baseball, so we're not going to get that in Greenville. I mean, can we talk to PJ, a former pitcher for the Pirates? I mean, come on, PJ, we'll have Midnight Madness. A lot of people, instead of going downtown or partying, they can party at Clark LeClaire.
I'm sure PJ would take your call, but I'm sure PJ will also talk to Cliff, and I think that will miss that right there.
I don't want a midnight. I'm just joking. I don't want that time. I would prefer to have a 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock start would be my preference if we had to do a night game. So not that it matters what I think or want, but if we have to have a night game, that would be the more of an ideal time. 7 o'clock would be an ideal time. And we have Hollywood Squares here. As far as the team, so starting out, one question I had for you, how do you feel about the regional as far as teams? Are you happy with the teams the Pirates were able to get in the regional?
Yeah, I think it's a good draw. I do, especially for the 13 seed. Now, them being the 13 seed, that means that Charlotte is like fourth highest two seed. Like, that's how they work around kind of a snake draft there. You know, that's probably a little bit lower than where Charlotte should be, but due to how the Columbia Regional had to get sorted out with Old Dominion being the one seed there, they couldn't host in Charlotte because you can't have two Conference USA schools in one regional. So that meant South Carolina had to be the two in that regional, and that meant Charlotte had to come here. And so I think you get a higher two seed than maybe initially thought, but I think it's the fact that you avoid one of the streaking hot ACC schools is notable here. That, you know, Maryland comes in on a tear, but I think there's kind of a question as to they haven't played anything outside of league this year, and so how much involved in what they've done is being up on a Big Ten that's okay at the top but not very strong in the middle and bottom, and how much of it is what they've done. I like the group that's come in here for this regional. I think it sets up nicely for an East Carolina run. They're the best team talent-wise of the four, and if they play their baseball, they'll show that, and they'll win a regional championship this weekend. We know how weird this weekend can get, and so anything is very much on the table. But for your 2 seed to be a team that you've seen already this year, for the 3 seed to be a team that is more of a curiosity, frankly, for me right now. And then for your 4 seed to be, you know, a team that was good in their conference this year, that's always kind of been knocking on the door the last few years of getting to this stage, but has never gotten here until now. I think East Carolina wound up with a pretty nice draw out of all this.
Corey, as you knew, I got the opportunity to catch up with Maryland head coach Rob Vaughn, and you know, when I talked to coach, one of the things that really jumped out about this ball club is after a 5-9 start, they are 23-7.
Yeah, they've won 18 of 22. Like, it's not like they're coming. Like, it's, I mean, we talk about NC State and Duke and the streak that they're on here to end the year, and they don't come here. When I think everyone thought at least one of those two was probably heading this way. Well, you don't get that, but you get a Maryland team that has done similar over the last 6 weeks of the year as to what those two have done. So they've done it in a myriad of different ways. They get on base. They got a couple of guys who can steal. They will have some sneaky power in that lineup, and they got a good 1-2 punch in the front of the rotation. So I think Rob Vaughn is pleasantly surprised at how his team has surged to end this year. And he's called it the greatest run that he's experienced in his time at Maryland. He's in his fourth year as a coach, but he's been there for a while. And so they come in with certainly the, you know, the most successful run of baseball of any of the four in recent times. They get Charlotte to start things off, and we'll see how those two navigate through some pretty potent lineups that each one has. It will be a pretty fascinating game whenever that takes place here this weekend. But the Pirates can't worry about either of those two yet. Like, they got something to take care of first.
Corey, one of the questions I had for you regarding, and I guess I should stop. I should be like the team and stop, and coaches stop looking at social media because my blood pressure goes up. I'm a huge, as you know, Cliff Godwin fan, and it just amazes me how we have thousands of people in Pirate Nation that know more than Cliff Godwin. I'm saying that sarcastically, that they're questioning why Carson Wisenhunt would start. I just think that's outrageous. They're like, why doesn't Gavin get the ball? So I thought that we would bring that up tonight.
Who's questioning that, Dave?
There's some folks on. Anyway, I was just bringing that up because I want to point out how crazy they are. A coach knows way more than we'll ever know about baseball. And I would never question a decision that he has, especially when he's won a lot more games than I have as a coach. So,
well, I think what's fascinating about how things have set up here to start this regional is that on the surface, none of these teams are actually throwing their main ace in day one. They're throwing their number two. You know, Norfolk kind of has a 1A, 1B, and the Pirates are going to see their lefty, James DeLoach, as opposed to their two-way guy who's been sensational this year. He's going to go the second day. Maryland's going to throw their freshman, who's been their Friday guy, but they have a veteran in Sean Burke who's going to go day two, and he's been the more consistent of the bunch. And then Charlotte is going to save Bryce McGowan for Saturday, and we remember him from March. He was locked in a good one against the Pirates, and they're throwing Andrew Lindsay against Maryland. So every single team has a good 1-2 that's allowed him to make this decision and kind of play matchup a little bit more. I initially was a little bit surprised that Wisenhunt was getting the start here for a couple reasons. One, because he'll be on a day less rest. He pitched on Saturday in Clearwater, so he's working on one less day. Two, he's a freshman and he's going to get, you know, his first regional stage, going to be the first game this year with 5,000 people at it. And three, I kind of set up for Tyler Smith to get the start because it would be a week and a half since he's gone. But then I start diving into Norfolk a little bit more and what they're good at. And what they're good at is making a lot of contact, stealing a lot of bases. They have a ton of speed up and down this order, and they don't hit lefties very well. So when you put all that together and you throw a lefty out there who's also good at controlling the running game in Wisenhunt, it makes total sense as to why he gets the ball here against the Spartans. It is a matchup thing. And then you have Gavin for day two, whomever you're going to see, whatever side of the bracket you're going to be on, you feel great about him, whoever he's going to be pitching against. And then whatever happens after Saturday or game two, whenever it occurs, you roll the dice with one of the deepest bullpens and pitching staffs you've had. But Carson against Norfolk, once you dive into what Norfolk is really good at offensively, makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, Bubba was talking about that last night, how Norfolk has stolen a ton of bases this year, and Carson has a good pickoff move, playing against a lefty, just makes it harder to steal bases, period. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And then if you get past Norfolk, now you got Gavin for either Charlotte or Maryland. So, I think it's definitely the right move.
Yeah, 107 stolen bases on the year for Norfolk. I mean, that's excessive. Like, that's been what they've been leaning on this year. And they hit about 238 against lefty pitching. And so, like, it makes obvious sense why this is the call that the Pirates are making here, even though it's going to be Wisenhunt in his first outing like this. His first postseason outing of his career, he pitched really well against UCF last weekend in a must-win game. And so they have the utmost confidence in him to be calm and collected on a stage like this. Now he's going to be facing a team that, if they can get on, they will put a ton of pressure on you, and it's going to be on him to keep his cool about it and make sure that things get nipped in the bud. So, because they can singles turn to doubles pretty quickly against this Norfolk lineup. So it's going to be, I think the first three innings of this game are going to be really, really interesting to watch.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in terms of it being the freshman and his first start in a regional, whether it's tomorrow or whether it was the game two start or the game three start, whatever, it would be his first start in a regional. So
yep.
You might as well get it out of the way.
Put him out there now.
Yep, yeah, totally exactly. Agree. Give him the matchup advantage. And also, I don't want to say this wrong, but playing Charlotte or Maryland, there might be a little more juice flowing than Norfolk State. The name on the jersey shouldn't matter, but it maybe will make it less intimidating. Not taking anything away from Norfolk State. They certainly can beat us. Quinnipiac did.
Mm-hmm. I think there might be a little bit of an element to that. I think there have been times this year where Carson has had a little bit of trouble maintaining composure throughout starts because he's still a freshman, and sometimes he's been rattled from time to time. Norfolk's very capable of doing that. What they're not really capable of doing is taking mistakes and hitting them out. That is not a home run hitting team. Whereas Charlotte, Maryland, they will take mistakes and really make you hurt for it. Norfolk can do that with their legs. They can't do that with their strength.
Do they bunt a lot? Do they bunt a lot, Corey?
I mean, I think they'll try. I mean, it's a team that what they do a lot is make a ton of contact. They do not strike out a ton. And so, and frankly, of the four here, they make maybe the most contact of any of the four offensively. And so, you know, that would lead you to believe they will drop down bunts here or there. And it's a team that mines the most out of the roster that they have, and they've done it successfully this year. So they'll get sneaky on you. Like, they'll absolutely get sneaky on you and try and force you into miscues. Frankly, these two lineups, the Pirates have far more power than the Spartans do, but when the Pirates are really playing their game, they are doing what, you know, the really small ball station to station slash and show sort of bunt game that Norfolk might be trying as well.
Corey, a couple things. You brought up Carson Wisenhunt and his composure being a COVID freshman. You know, taking a look at Carson, this most recent appearance against UCF was his fourth appearance since that month of not pitching. And in all those other appearances, he had never walked more than two. But against UCF, he did walk more. They allowed that one hit in five innings. And he did a really good job, I thought, of keeping his composure, you know, pitching through some of those tough spots.
Yeah, I mean, there were points where he was wild, and UCF is a team that will make you throw strikes. And so there were elements in that he had to work through some real adversity, and he was able to do that in his first postseason stage. I think it sets up nicely for him to make his NCAA tournament debut with what he showed us in Clearwater in a game that the Pirates needed to win. Otherwise, we're talking about a very different regional, frankly. So the fact that he showed that first time out in a postseason appearance, it's hard not to be excited about what he might be able to do tomorrow.
Awesome. And that very thing that we need to definitely keep in mind with that very thing that Pirate Nation needs to understand is that, and most do, I think, but Norfolk State can beat us. Any of these teams can beat us. One of the questions I want to have, and we love Igo, but why in the world did the parent company 24/7 Sports pick, did you see that? Where they had, what was it, Maryland beating Charlotte, Kyle, in the championship game of the Greenville Regional? He's the one that saw it. I didn't see it, so. I think it was yesterday, their predictions. And I was like, well, those are the same people who predicted, you know, the wrong teams in the Greenville Regional and all the regionals. So I think it's probably best if we have it where they don't give us any respect and we go in there and take care of business. Not that it matters who they have anyway.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we saw 2 years ago just how difficult of a road you can make this if you're looking forward a little bit, and we saw that last week. I think this team, especially after last week and how things started in Clearwater, if that didn't snap them into the realization that they have to be the aggressor, that they have to show themselves as one of the best teams in the nation. If they don't do that, then they will get beat by anybody. A team 20 games under 500 destroyed them in Clearwater. And a team who is one game under 500 that just won their conference will easily do that to them tomorrow if they are looking forward. If guys who are, not on that 2019 team but are on this team, starting to maybe waver a little bit attention-wise and looking ahead to maybe a rematch with Charlotte or seeing Maryland, I think that's being reset here because we have two recent examples of the danger that can cause, the damage that can cause. And the Pirates got out of the regional in 19 and they made a run to the semifinals in Clearwater. But if you're going to drop the first game against a team you should beat, you're making life exceptionally hard on yourself to do what you want to do here, to do what you want to be and go where you want to go. This team is good enough to win this regional. It has to start against Norfolk State. You can't think about anybody else right now.
Corey, a few minutes ago, you talked about James DeLoach getting the ball for Norfolk State, 7-2, 2.58 ERA in 66 and a third. Opponents are hitting 217 against him. He has walked 41 and also hit some. So his command seems to have been kind of spotty at times, but he's really pitched well of late. I heard a number today, give credit to Stephen Igo of Hoist the Colors. He said that he had worked 22 consecutive scoreless innings.
He kind of strikes me as an effectively wild type of guy where he's walking in, most of his outings this year, he's walked at least four batters a game. But you're right, he's gone 22 straight scoreless innings in games that Norfolk needed to win. And so I'm fascinated to see what stuff he's got. Over the year, lefties have given the Pirates a little bit more trouble, but entering the tournament, this team actually is hitting lefties better than righties. It's a small split, but and a small difference, but they are hitting lefties a little bit better. This team over the last few weeks has changed things around lineup-wise with a lefty on the mound against them where, Worrell is switching to right-handed, which is his weaker side. Makarevich really hasn't even been in the lineup against lefties because hitting right-handed is his weaker side by far. But that has left them to put more left-handers, true left-handers in, like Riley Johnson's going to be getting starts, even with a lefty on the mound. So how this team has to structure their lineup is a little bit different with a lefty on the hill than a righty. That's where Norfolk's coming from here. Even though the team's hitting 306 against lefties as opposed to 300 against right-handers right now, they see what a 1-9 is going to maybe look like for ECU and see a much better way through by switching a couple switch hitters to the other side here and maybe getting one of them out of the lineup as opposed to going with Danny Hosley, who is their two-way guy and has been exceptional as a righty pitcher. So they're going to go with their southpaw here, and it's going to be up to the Pirates to not chase because DeLoach will miss. He will give you free options. Don't go after it. That's why first three innings are so fascinating to me, not just from Carson's side of things, but about how the Pirates attack DeLoach and how they are aggressive against a guy that will put you on if you are patient with him, or do they think they have something on him? Do they think they have his fastball picked up and they go after it right away? It's going to be an interesting cat and mouse game here to start off this regional.
No question. I would ask you, Corey, how many tickets are available right now? Have you heard for today? Do you know offhand?
I have heard nothing about tickets. I knew single game tickets, I think, went on sale yesterday. Don't quote me on that. I know they're anticipating not having many available, if any, once things get underway tomorrow. So I do not have a hookup either. I have been asked. I have no avenue to get tickets. That's how high demand they are right now. And I know people, and those people don't have avenues for me either.
Do you have a ticket to get in?
I have a credential. I'm going to have to utilize that. They will need to allow me to work. I will. So I'll be able to attend the games and also call them in the process.
That'll be kind of hard to do the game from your car, right? Or the parking lot.
I've done it before. Not here, but I've done it. I've called a football game from the back of a pickup truck before. I'll call this baseball game from the back of my car. I'll do it.
Wow. Well, Bubba, we have a very excited to have a former ECU baseball player, Evan Balva. Hey, Evan, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Well, very excited to have you on. Excited to talk. Absolutely, man. Excited to have you on about talking about ECU baseball, this particular case, the regional. Your former player has experience playing in regionals, playing Pirate baseball. What's your mindset as a player going into this week? How tough is it? Really hard? Is it stressful? More than normal?
No, I mean, I think the people that make it stressful are kind of the outside voices. Everybody that really overanalyzes everything. I mean, when you think about it, it's still the same game of baseball that you've played all year. It's a little bit more riding on the line. But, you know, that makes it fun. It makes it exciting. It's promising to know you're probably going to bring your best effort when it comes to that.
No question. You had a lot of experience throughout the years. What are you have some favorite memories, maybe behind the scenes of the regionals where were former players, or is there anything that you can share on a show where you won't get in trouble? I guess the statute of limitations passed now. You don't have to do any running now with coach or anything, right?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good on that. I luckily don't have to do any more conditioning. I got a lifetime's worth in my 5 years there, so I'm good on that. But I'd say, I mean, obviously, you know, every time we've been able to play in the postseason, it's been great memories. But yeah, some of my favorite. Definitely down Texas Tech, winning game one, and then coming so close in game two. That was exciting, you know, getting feet wet. But I'd have to say probably my favorite would be in 19, after losing game one to Quinnipiac. I also gave up that home run to put them up. So I'm sure Pirate fans were very happy with me for a little bit. But after going down one game, to see what our team did over the next 2-3 days was just, it's unbelievable. You can't draw it up like that. Showing up, beating State game one, then Quinnipiac again, and then taking two from Campbell. That was definitely the best moment in the postseason. Just because, you know, everything, all the odds were stacked against us after losing game one. And being able to persevere and come back and run the table from there, that was pretty special to be a part of.
And Evan, the fact of the matter is, we know that Coach Godwin and all the coaches and the staff and the players are not overlooking Norfolk State. There might be some fans in Pirate Nation overlooking Norfolk State, but I can guarantee you, I'm sure you can add to that, being a former player, you're not overlooking Norfolk State.
No. I mean, the most important game of the regional is game one. If you can win game one, it kind of sets the table up good, and kind of allows everything to go according to plan. But I can assure you, I've been in that in the clubhouse, and I can assure you they're not looking past Norfolk State, especially after, you know, we lost to Quinnipiac in 19. I'm sure he's definitely reminding the guys of that, and that anybody can beat anybody on any given day. So I would say no, they're definitely not overlooking Norfolk State.
Yeah, guys, and really there's no need to. You can't play anybody else besides Norfolk State. I mean, literally, that's the only team you can play right now. So you might as well be focused in on that one and worry about Charlotte and Maryland later.
No doubt. I mean, that's
yeah. I mean, Norfolk State's a good team. Every team in the regional is a good team. I mean, if they weren't good, they would be in the postseason. And their record might not show it, but I mean, they're hot right now. They just won the conference tournament. So everybody's going to be playing up a little bit. And, you know, teams are tough to beat when they're riding on a high. So,
do you guys give any validity? You know, I don't really, off the top of my head, I don't remember the last time Norfolk State was in a regional. Charlotte, I don't think they've been to recently. Maybe I'm wrong on that. And
this is the first regional cup
ever.
Norfolk State.
Oh wow. Okay. And then what about Maryland? What is their experience?
Maryland was in 17. That's their last. Charlotte hasn't been in since 2011.
Okay. So none of these guys, with the exception of East Carolina, has any experience playing in the postseason. So that should be a huge advantage for us. You would think anyway.
Right. I mean, with the consistency we've had of playing in the postseason, I think we definitely have the upper hand as far as experience goes. But like I said, you know, anybody can beat anybody any given day, especially this time of year. It's tough to win baseball games this time of year. I mean, teams are hot. They're feeling themselves. So you can't take anybody for granted.
How do you think, you know, we've talked at length on here about this is going to be the first game with a full house or the potential for a full house, and you know, how the Pirate fans are going to react to it. But, you know, Norfolk State hadn't played in front of a crowd this year. I would imagine Maryland, with the way the Big Ten schools are, I don't know if they've played in front of any fans. And Charlotte's been like we have, limited capacity, with the exception of maybe down in Louisiana Tech and Southern Miss in conference play. But so the opponents also, this is going to be their first time this year playing in front of a crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it's either going to work towards their favor or against their favor. I mean, sometimes when you play smaller schools like that that haven't played in front of a crowd all year, it kind of hypes them up a little bit too. I mean, we saw that in Quinnipiac in 19. I mean, everybody was there pulling for us, but it also jacked them up to be able to play in front of a crowd and you know, have the chance to play in front of, I don't know, what was it, 5,000 people like that? That's something that they've never done before, and I don't know if they'll do it again. So it can play to their advantage as well.
No question with the
Evan. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay, I was just going to ask about Evan, as far as the, you know, guys still on this team. What about last year compared to not having much of a season? There's a lot of guys like Connor Norby and Gavin Williams. I mean, their stock value has gone way up. It's great to see how, I know Coach talked about, you could actually work really hard individually and do very well like they have, or the team could have just taken the year off and not really done much with their craft, so to speak. But what do you think about having that pretty much a year off and then coming back and now doing very well?
I think the year off definitely set a lot of people apart, and it exposed some people, just because, I mean, there was a full year off, and it was kind of up to you individually whether you wanted to go in and get your work in or not. But I remember I was up at Next Level working out there, and I saw Norby, Gavin, and I mean a ton of other guys, but they were constantly in there. When they couldn't work out at ECU, they were constantly in there. Trying to get better. And like you said, I still know some of those guys and talk to some of those guys and know what kind of people they are. And I know they're hardworking people, but I know they also care a lot about the team. Being able to see, I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the country whose draft stock's risen as much as Norby has this year. I mean, I got the chance to watch him play in Clearwater last week, and like seeing that in person, it's something special to see. And Gavin Williams too, which I know he's a, you know, a top prospect coming in, but you know, he's really taking the bull by the horn, so to speak, and it's shown this year.
Evan, you've dealt with regionals and weather, and yeah, just other games and weather. How does it affect a baseball team when games get delayed, pushed back? You have weather delays in the middle of the game. you have to wait and find out when your start time is. Do you just take it as drive, or can it get to you? How do you keep it from getting in your head?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's definitely tough when the game gets pushed back, because you've been waiting all week to play, and then, you know, it finally gets here, and then you got to put everything on pause for a little bit. But you definitely the caffeine starts wearing off a little bit. And I think, at least for us, I think we kind of got as many rain delays as we had in 18 and 19. I think we kind of got tired of being that close to each other, confined to the locker room. We just want to get outside and play. We had all this built up energy, and we were just ready to play. So, I mean, it gets to you a little bit. But I think a rain delay pregame works. It's a little better than having, you know, a rain delay mid-game.
Like Wilmington.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like Wilmington. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
The one in 18, that was like the longest. Corey, how about you as a broadcaster? That had to be really hard for you, because there was a handful, I forgot how many hours it was in between when Agnos was pitching, and he was throwing out of his mind. It was like, 5-0 or something? And then you have and all of a sudden it's a million hours. It just seemed like it was forever for that rain delay. One of the longest ever.
Something like 3 or 4 hours. Like, it was a while. And, you know, I think initially we were looking at the radar, and it's like, all right, this won't be too long here. And like, maybe Agnos will be able to come back out. And then it just kept going and going. And I maybe fell asleep in my booth a little bit and just kept rolling around. I was like, all right, Agnos isn't coming back, but they're still up 5-0. And then the way everything just restarted there in that game was unpleasant, to say the least. It's one of the more shocking experiences of calling this team in my 6 years, that one inning there against UNCW right after the rain delay, which I can't imagine even they frankly saw coming. The Seahawks even probably didn't even see that coming. Luckily, there haven't been many scenarios like that since or even prior to that with this program. But we are talking about this for tomorrow. If they can't start at noon, they're going to do everything they can to make sure they start and finish without rain. Like, they aren't going to start and then stop, knowing that rain's in the forecast throughout the day. Cliff won't allow that. Keith Shoemate won't allow that for Norfolk. The NCAA shouldn't allow that. They're going to make sure that something like 18 won't happen again.
No question. Evan, was that that's got to be hard. Your pitcher, I mean, a rain delay, how much does that affect you guys as far as momentum, the command? I mean, that's got to be tough to come out and, you know, you've waited a few hours and you got to come out and pitch.
No, I mean, it's definitely tough. I couldn't imagine, you know, starting the game and then coming back out and pitching. Like, I just can imagine doing that. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. You're all jacked up, like I said, and then you go in, you've got 3-4 hours of downtime. So then you got to refire that up again. And it's tough to do, especially in the sense of 18. Like, we had everything going for us. We were playing great. And then, you know, come out of the rain delay, and it didn't seem like we could buy an out. Nobody, I mean, anybody we ran out there, nobody could buy an out. And it's tough.
No question about it. We're looking forward to a regional. And so no midnight start. We learned that tonight from Corey Glore.
Not the official NCAA guy, but they will make sure they don't start at midnight tomorrow. Like, I'll give you that. They'll start as late at 9, like that, like South Carolina at 18. But we ain't starting at midnight tomorrow.
I'm hoping that
I will not be calling a game at midnight tomorrow. Let me just put that way.
Evan, are you up for calling a game tomorrow?
Never say never.
Oh, wait a minute. Corey, wait a minute now. If they start at 9 o'clock, you could be calling a game at midnight.
Well, with how long we play games, we'll bleed over to midnight. But if it's starting at midnight, I might make a fan might be able to do my job for that game.
All right.
Hey, Bubba, are you available?
I'm not.
Okay. All right. So, I guess we're going to have to do the game way earlier. But and everybody can make a run to Waffle House for Corey. I think that would be great. Waffle House, Denny's,
Dave, IHOP. You and Coach O.
Oh my God! With me this weekend. He's NCAA.
Yeah, he's not there.
He's in Austin.
That's Texas, right. This weekend. Sorry.
Yeah.
Corey's there. Are you gonna be flying solo, or are you gonna Malcolm gonna get in the booth with you?
Malcolm's running around like a chicken with his head cut off this weekend. He's running a regional, so I am on my own, unless Evan wants to fly up and join me here. But I think I actually you nearly joined.
Oh man, I'm here. I'm in Greenville, man.
You're in Greenville? Come on in.
I'm back, man.
So you're coming to games? I'm guessing here.
Oh yeah, I'll be a fan.
Okay,
be a all fan right. This weekend.
I think I nearly got you on in one of the conference tournaments the year you missed due to your injury. But like you just strolled into the hotel.
I do remember that.
I was like, "Hey, come into the booth," and you're like, "Really?" I'm like, "Maybe not."
Corey, Frank Durham chimes in on YouTube saying, "I'm your Huckleberry."
The list starts now to step in for me here if we start a game after midnight.
I can't believe I forgot that about Coach O. He's only done that, 20 years now?
Yeah, he's been doing a lot. And I know he was telling me he was hoping he'd go to Austin. He's going to Austin, so he gets to run that regional. So
why is that where he wanted to go?
Because he's been to a lot of the other places that were selected this year. And so he's like, in Austin's a little bit more favorable of a town than, say, Starkville.
Okay.
My apologies to Starkville, but Austin's a little bit of a cooler environment.
I didn't know if Coach O was really big into the red dirt music scene. You never know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. There we go.
No doubt. No doubt. We'll have with a regional tickets. Hopefully, if you haven't gotten any tickets, it's probably too late. But maybe you can go outside. You see the dude with the trench coat and the fedora. Maybe you can get him to give you some tickets tomorrow.
Keep an eye open for tomorrow morning. If there are some available, they'll probably release them tomorrow morning. That's usually how they've done this in years past. But again, I don't know. The demand's been pretty strong for this one. So even more so than previous years. So
yeah, I would recommend also, guys, check the Charlotte and the Maryland message boards and just ask their fans if anybody's in Greenville that isn't planning on going to game one, the East Carolina Norfolk State game, and chances are you'll probably be able to get a ticket. A lot of those fans will only use the tickets to their team's games. So for game one, you may be able to score a ticket from Charlotte or Maryland fans.
And not every, they'll release tickets that aren't sucked in by the three other teams either. Like every team gets an allotment of tickets, and they all get the same number for the three road teams. So any of them not eaten up by Norfolk or Charlotte or Maryland, they will become available at some point if they aren't already. So keep an eye open tomorrow morning, because some might be dropping in through like the ECU ticket office.
And before we let you guys go, I know both of you being a play-by-play guy and a former pitcher of the Pirates, can you give us your favorite memories of the regionals? Whoever wants to take that first.
I mean, I think I said it earlier, but my favorite memory from the regional is 2019. Obviously, losing to Quinnipiac wasn't fun in the moment, but being able to come back and win four straight like we did, that was definitely the coolest moment for me as a player. Just when all the odds were stacked against us, we persevered and came back and ran the table. So, I mean, that was the most fun environment to be a part of, hands down.
The 2019 run was as insane of a run I've been a part of, because it was just so much in such a small amount of time, and all the games were long, and it was just I was so punk drunk by the end of it. But the way that regional ended, and because he's sitting here on the show right now, when Evan comes out for the final two outs of that regional, gets the strikeout, then the flyout to end it. I after I wrapped up my broadcast, I went down to the field and I saw Evan, and I said, "It had to be you to finish this one. It had to be you." And he said, "Absolutely." Like that's those little moments, like off air, that I remember being down the field and celebrating with the team after that regional, and talking to Evan was a huge part of that. Like that will always stick with me.
What about your call in 16 of the UVA game, Corey?
I mean, that's going to be an all-timer. My voice popped. I still haven't gotten it back. That was such a, that was like a 5-run ninth inning. Like, wow. And that game was so frustrating. Like, they had so many chances to actually not lose that game, and it looked like they were going to. And then Travis just, he got a hold of one, to say the least, and won that game. That was something special. And that it, but it got him to the championship game. That wasn't even a championship game
yet. Yep.
The way 19 ended was just the build up to that whole thing. Those 48 hours were just insane, just absolutely insane.
Yeah, and Dave, you didn't ask me, but I'm going to give my favorite real fast. 09 against South Carolina, you had to beat them twice. Game two, the grand slam, and then beating them in the bottom of the ninth with the roller scoring from third base. That was unbelievable.
And Evan, very quickly before we let you go, you know, you were one of a few Pirate pitchers over the last several years, and guys like Davis Kirkpatrick also, you know, coming off an injury, and then you had such an excellent senior season in 2019, a team high 32 appearances. Just talk about that.
I mean, it was I was definitely blessed to be able to you know, undergo Tommy John surgery. You know, I had the best athletic trainer in the country and Zach Womack to help be with me by my side throughout that whole process. And, you know, we worked hard that whole year I had off to, there's just so many small things like that, that built up to the following season where I was able to come out and, you know, have a successful year. But it was, you know, to be able to, I had so many ups and downs throughout my entire career, and to kind of be able to hang my hat up, as an ECU Pirate on that note it was so special to me. And I'm forever in Pirate Nation's debt. I'm forever in the coach's debt, the staff, everybody that kind of helped me out along the way. There's just been too many people to name. But it was just a lot that, you know, I'd gone through in 5 years to be able to have that be the way that things ended for me. It was awesome.
What are you doing in Greenville now, Evan? You said you're back in Greenville.
Yeah, so I kind of caught the injury bug this year in spring training. I was battling a hamstring injury, got that fixed, and then finally got back on the mound. I had an arm injury. Luckily, you know, no surgery. So I'm back here rehabbing, trying to get that right. So with COVID protocols and everything, we're not allowed to stay at the team complex down in Tampa. So they got me over at Young's rehabbing now. So trying to get that right, you know, 6 to 8 more weeks, and then hopefully be starting to head back down there.
Evan, I'm sure Larry's taking care of you over at Young's, correct?
Oh yeah, man. I see Larry all the time. He's one of the best. He's kind of running the show over there.
Well, Evan, thank you so much for all you did for Pirate Nation. Joy to have you on tonight. Appreciate you very much. Corey, man, as always, we're looking forward to the broadcast. And it'll be 15 minutes before first pitch, right? So it won't be 11:45 tomorrow night. It'll be hopefully tomorrow night, but not that late.
Right now, it's 11:45 a.m. for a 12:06 first pitch. I am ranking on that. I will go to the park at 10, and we'll see what happens from that point forward. You will obviously know when things are going to be happening this weekend, but I certainly hope if you're not there, you can join me for the ride, because I think it'll be a pretty fun one this weekend.
It's going to be great. Guys, thank you so much, and look forward to seeing you this weekend at the ballpark.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
So I appreciate you very much. All right, bye-bye. Very nice of Corey Glore and former pitcher of the Pirates, Evan Balva. Join us, and right now, hey, we've got two guys. We got guys from the Niner Report. Appreciate you guys. We have Nick and obviously Kevin on. Guys, appreciate you coming on. It's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. Are you guys coming down to the regional in Greenville?
Leaving in the morning.
Bring your boat.
Yeah, we're heading out first thing in the morning.
Yeah, bring your boat. Definitely bring your boat. It's wet. I don't know. I don't know how it is out y'all's way, but down east, a lot of rain.
Yeah, Kyle, I think down east it's been a lot worse than out here. Obviously, these guys are in my neck of the woods here with me being in China Grove. And I like that Cannonballer shirt, Nick.
Yeah, yeah, got to represent K-Town. We're right down the road.
You got a tremendous – I was hanging out with Bubba last year. You guys have a tremendous ballpark. That is – you know, I was a huge Dale Earnhardt fan, and I love the Intimidators, but I have to say the ballpark looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's a 1,000% upgrade. I mean, we went out to Intimidators games mainly when guys of ours, you know, would pass through, you know, playing in the minors. But that stadium, the old Intimidator stadium, just made it difficult to go to games, to be honest with you. And now that the Atrium Health Ballpark in downtown Annapolis, how could you not want to go to it?
Yeah, I think Kyle would like the bar out in center field. What do you think, Bubba?
I'm sure he, as a lot of folks would. It's definitely a nice setup, and love what the city of Annapolis has done with it.
Yeah, you know, well, we could talk about the Cannonballers a lot tonight, but we want to talk about the regional. We want to get your perspective from the Diamond for the 49ers. What do you think coming into this weekend in Greenville? Whoever wants to take it.
Go ahead, Kevin. Tell, break it to him. Break it to all him right. Gently, Kevin.
All right, I'll go ahead and talk to him. We're excited. It's been, like I said, it's been 10 years since we've been in a regional. We've been close a few times, going on the bubble, but we were definitely in this year. We were listed as one of the 20 potential host sites, so that was exciting. First time in school history we've been on the verge of hosting, so that's exciting. First time in the 2 seed, so a lot of positive momentum going with the program, especially with the second year coach Robert Woodard and his staff. They've kind of exceeded expectations up to this point. But as far as going to Greenville, we're excited to hit the road in the morning. We know there's going to be a lot of fans out there, especially ECU. I'm not sure what the Maryland crowd is going to be, but sounds like we filled out our allotment and bringing a lot of our fans with us.
That was one of my questions I had for you guys. Do you know how many tickets you guys have sold? I mean, it sounds like, I mean, I didn't realize it had been a decade since you guys have been in a regional, but certainly I know the 49er fans have to be excited, and it's a quick drive compared to where you could have been.
Yeah, I don't know about the numbers on the tickets, but I know that Kevin and I were definitely scrambling behind the scenes trying to get things taken care of to get down there. So, you know, I'm sure we'll have a good contingent. Certainly there will obviously be more purple, and we get that, and that's cool. We had a great time in Greenville earlier in the year. Got a chance to come down to that Saturday game of our series in Greenville there. And it's a good environment. The capacities were still low back then, but great crowd in Greenville. And, you know, it's a good baseball environment. They're baseball savvy, you know, so it's fun to get down there and watch a game. It's going to be a long weekend, I think it sounds like. And I was already listening to you guys talk about the forecast and midnight starts. Go ahead, the Charlotte folks, go ahead, mark us down as anti-midnight start, especially if y'all are playing first and you're starting at midnight. So, you know, it's just one of those deals. But, yeah, it has been a decade. Like Kevin said, we've been close a couple of times. But, yeah, it's 2011 was our last trip to the tournament, and they sent us to Arizona State. So the drive to Greenville tomorrow will be much, much easier to make.
Yeah, Charlotte playing in Conference USA these days. Pirates' former home. We know about CUSA baseball. Of course, it used to be dominated by Rice. Rice ain't what they used to be, but the league was really strong this year with Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech. Then you had Old Dominion kind of come out of nowhere. And had a great year. Talk about the strength of the league. That's something that I think, you know, maybe actually plays in your guys' favor a little bit. I think overall Conference USA was a stronger league this year than the American and the Big Ten. Talk about y'all's impressions of Conference USA this year and how playing in that league may help you guys in the regional.
Well, I'll say this about Conference USA, and Kevin can tack on to that. But, you know, when we made our last trip in 2011, we were in the Atlantic 10. And that's where we stopped after the previous version of Conference USA. When that league when everybody kind of went their own ways, we ended up in the Atlantic 10. And that is, it's a quality basketball league. But as it is a baseball, well, it's just not that great for baseball. So we were very successful in it, but it was a one bid league, to your point. So when we were able to move back to Conference USA, that was the first thing on our minds was, oh my gosh, we're going back to a baseball league. Cause it just matters so much being here in the South and the recruiting, the scheduling, and like you said, just the ability to play, not only a non-conference schedule, but a conference schedule that can put you in position to have an RPI in the 20s, or better. And to be in position to get an at bid, an at-large bid. I mean, this was our second at-large bid in program history, and largely because for a long time we've been in a one bid league, and that's just tough going. As far as this year goes, not only the strength as you mentioned, but I think, and this is something that's kind of flown under the radar a little bit maybe, but the conferences that played the four game weekends. Which Conference USA did, and I believe you guys did too. Am I right about that?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I think that's a huge advantage for all of us that did that. Because when you're coming into a regional situation where if you're used to playing the standard three game weekend, you know, we have had to develop deeper pitching just by necessity. And where if you're playing that three game set, the traditional three game weekend, maybe you don't have to focus on it as much. Not that you don't want to, but I think it's a huge advantage for all of us that did that because it was a war. I mean, nobody wants to do it again, including us. I don't ever want to see four game weekends again, but, I think for right now it's been great preparation. Kevin, I'll let you correct my misstatements now.
Well, like I said, the league was definitely strong this year. I think ODU was picked kind of up there, but not as high as Southern Miss and La Tech. They've been at the top of the league the past few years, traditional powers in our conference. And ODU just had a great year. They had a good start last year before COVID hit, and they kind of picked up where they left off. Had a great offense, and we saw a lot of folks. We saw them 2 weekends in a row for four games each weekend, and that was a fun 2 weeks. It was like a World Series with eight games between the two. But we ended up splitting 4-4-3 at our – we went 3-1 at our place and 1-3 at theirs. But their offense is very explosive. Put up a lot of runs. Our offense put up a lot of runs in our stadium. But the strength of the league is – it was good to see this year. Top five in conference RPI for a good part of the season. So hopefully Rice will get their stuff together and we'll be a solid league for years in the future.
Are you guys surprised, and then we'll get back on our regional, just one more note on Conference USA. Are you guys surprised that Old Dominion didn't work something out with the Norfolk Tide or with another ballpark in that area to try to host? I mean, I know their stadium really isn't capable of hosting, but plenty of quality ballparks in that Norfolk, Virginia Beach area. Surprises me they didn't work anything out and put in a bid.
I don't know. I've heard that they were working on something, but kind of didn't get it worked out in time to host. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it's unfortunate because they're definitely they were the hottest team in the league down the stretch for sure going into the tournament. And then they followed through in the tournament and ended up winning it on La Tech's. So I think they were trying to work it out, but I don't think they could work out the final details and get a bid in time. I think those bids came in early April. You had to put them in early April. So
yeah, that's correct.
In time.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I guarantee you I wish they had now. I mean – you know, I mean, think about it. What if we were, you know, I mean, that's got to be, gosh, it's 5.5 hours to Norfolk from here, and then another hour and a half to Columbia. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know, maybe a little closer, you go straight down 95. Anyway, if I was in that position, if I was, you know, if we were Diamond Monarch Report, I'd be pretty ticked about it. If we were finally getting to a one seed and we had to do it, you know, two states away.
Yeah, back in 1999 and 2000, we had enough of that life. 99, and we went to LSU and nearly won the thing, beat LSU and had them on the ropes 8-1. And then they came back and won when they won the second game. And then in 2000, we had to host down at – or be the number one seed down at Louisiana. And then 2001, we finally you know, got a bid in and hosted in Wilson.
Yeah, that, and you know, I mean, on the at the same front, I mean, you guys are familiar with our situation. We were one of the finalists, and we had to submit Gastonia. The Knights were playing home games. The Cannonballers were interested, but they were hosting some graduations, and they were off the table. So we ended up submitting Gastonia, which is a great park, but. You know, if it had gone that way, I don't know how much of a home field advantage we would have been able to produce in Gastonia, as opposed to being. I mean, you want to be on campus, right? I mean, even when you guys were in Wilson, I mean, I'm sure you were happy to do it, but you certainly were had to be thinking about, gosh, we should be doing this on campus.
Oh, there's no question. Also, and Bubba, I remember the 2001, the Super Regional, we played against Tennessee. We played that in Kinston. Wilson and Kinston have great ballparks, but nothing like Clark LeClaire. No offense to them, because we love both of them, but certainly, and we won there, so we love it. But still, the fact that we can host our own regional and hopefully one day super regional for sure. Guys, I want to talk about your coach. You've got a great coach in Robert Woodard. Thank a lot of him. He's been great to our show, coming on, lots of access, great pitcher. Great coaching tree with Coach Mike Fox, with a tremendous program at North Carolina. He comes to Charlotte, a great recruiting ground, and the guy knows the state very well. Talk about the fan base. How are you guys? You guys have got to be very excited to have him and what he's doing for your program.
Yeah, how could you not be? You know, he came in and replaced, you know, Lauren Hibbs was able to go back to his alma mater and help Eric Wedge kind of work on the Wichita State program. So it was a dream opportunity for him. We're going to have, you know, we were going to have a new coach for the first time in 25 years. I mean, that's what it amounted to with replacing Lauren. And, you know, Robert came in, Woody came in, and I mean, just from the very start was very transparent. He's very transparent with us, with the fan base. I mean, heck, like you said, he comes on your show. He'll talk to anybody. And that guy loves baseball. All he wants to talk about is baseball. And if somebody is somewhere wanting to talk baseball, he's there. I got to tell you, and just from my standpoint, I'll let Kevin weigh in on this, but he's so analytical, and he looks at baseball such a different way. For me, it's almost been, I mean, I've been watching baseball since I was a little kid, but in the last couple of years he's been here, it's almost been like relearning the game. He just approaches things with a very cutting edge viewpoint. And I mean, it's been tremendous, just to, not only the excitement that, you know, the winning creates, but just really learning a new perspective has been a lot of fun. So it's been great.
Talk about the season too, as well, for Pirate fans and fans that are watching now. We obviously, East Carolina saw you earlier in the year, but there's a lot of difference, big difference between what was that, March, and now it's June.
Right. You'll feel that, Kevin.
I'll start on that. It was pretty hot this year, and then we had a tough schedule stretch. We had ECU and Tennessee and Wake Forest kind of all in within like 10 days. We ended up beating Tennessee at home 9-0, and then went to play ECU that weekend. It was a pretty close series, obviously you guys got three games from us. But after that, we came came back home and we lost 2 of 3 to Western Carolina. And after that, it kind of clicked. Went on a big run in conference. I think we had like two straight sweeps in a row. And then leading up to the ODU series, the huge 8-game series, that was a big point in our season where we were kind of – we had elevated up to 15th in the country. And I think our RPI was up at 9-10. And then continue that through the rest of the year. But we've had a few injuries. We lost our first baseman, David McKay, for a good portion of the season. He's finally getting back now. Funny enough, he missed a good chunk of the season, but he's still leading our team in homers with 12. Other than that, yeah, we've battled through and finished kind of strong with our regular season and ended up winning the championship conference, regular season championship.
I'll say this about this weekend and what we're doing. I'm just personally, our offense, we can get the job done, whether it's Maryland tomorrow, hopefully you guys Saturday, whatever happens. The offense can get the job done. I think we've shown that. What it boils down to is on the pitching side, if we get that buttoned up, throw enough strikes, play enough clean defense, I mean, we got a shot. I like it. And I'm not just, I mean, I do have green tinted glasses, but you know, there have definitely been times in the past where even coming up against a program like you guys, where I would have looked at it and just, if I was being honest, said, we're going to need some help, you know, if we're going to come out on this thing. But this weekend, it's possible we can do it. If the guys play to the level that we have seen them play, at times this season, we can be very competitive. Now I'm stopping just short of making a prediction here, but we've got the talent, and that's probably what's different going forward. Our talent level is definitely at a certain level as comparison to, you know, certainly our A-10 days.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know, the
Nick and Kevin, one of the things about this roster, and I talked with Coach Woodard about this preseason, just a major roster overhaul. You know, bringing in what, like 20 new players.
Yeah, more.
Well, you had the two recruiting classes back to back, pretty much with COVID and all that. So, had a lot of new players. We had our conference player of the year, Austin Knight. We got him last year about this time, transfer from Tennessee. Ended up being conference player of the year in our league. So that's definitely one of the high points of the recruiting, but. A lot of roster changeover. A lot of the returning guys are still key contributors, though. And it goes, the new guys and the older guys have kind of meshed for a while because since COVID and everything with limitations. But they've meshed well, and the returning guys with the incoming guys have been a force down the stretch here.
That's the world we live in now, though, right? Especially with the transfer portal and the ability for players to change schools. You just got to be active in that. And, you know, in all sports, you know, you listen to fans talk about that the P5 is going to, you know, going to poach all our rosters and, you know, whether it's football or basketball, or whatever, going to take whatever they want. Maybe there will be some instances of that. But I tell you, I mean, so far the transfer portal is working in our direction. I mean, Austin Knight's backup third baseman at Tennessee, and now he's a first team All-American. Will Butcher started at NC State, was a huge piece for us. I mean, we just got multiple guys on this team this year that have come in. So it's sort of a different world we all live in now, but roster turnover might not necessarily be a bad thing always.
I kind of use this analogy for football. I don't know how to play out for baseball, but for football, I think what you're going to see is, I do think you'll see poaching. I use the example of, we got a great running back here, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but we got a great running back here named Roger Harris, and let's say he goes and puts up you know, 150 rushing yards on South Carolina. He's from South Carolina. What's going to keep the Gamecocks going? Hey, son, we need a running back next year. So I do think you're going to see group of five schools lose star players. But what I think you're going to see more of is kids that go, and again, I'm talking football, kids that go to Alabama, Clemson, et cetera, realize they're not going to play after 1 year and then transfer back to group of five schools. So I think in numbers, you're going to see more kids leave Power Five to come to group of five. I just think we're going to lose star players to group of five, to Power Five schools.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. I think, and that's a definite attitude with this staff, is that you know, no one is irreplaceable, and we're just going to keep recruiting, and that's high school, that's JUCO, that's transfer, and that's just, you know, you're just going to have to be aggressive.
No doubt about it. And we have an important question for you guys. Do you guys like barbecue? Because we have plenty of it in Greenville, if you did not know that.
Go ahead, tell him, Kevin. Go ahead and tell
him. Yes, the wrong guy. Nick is a barbecue connoisseur, man. He takes a trip down east every fall, right? A fishing trip, and they enjoy it big time. Yeah, we've been east quite a few times. Obviously, we went during basketball season. Always got to stop at barbecue. In fact, we're actually staying in Kinston this weekend. I'm gonna pick up some barbecue on the way in.
Don't go to Kings. Don't go to Kings, for God in heaven's sake.
All right, here's what we're gonna do. Here's what we're gonna do, Kyle. First of all, Kevin's from Durham himself, and I'm a Charlotte boy, but my mama's side of the family is from Sampson County, so Sampson County is where I learned to eat barbecue. Okay, so that's kind of my deal. I want you guys to tell us where we need to go, and don't say Bees, because we got to drive tomorrow, and there's no way Bees will have barbecue by the time we get there. So take Bees off the table. Where do we need to go?
Skylight Nation.
That's supposed to be the granddaddy, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, and I even like Parker's Barbecue. I think there's I like them a lot. Great for the community. Safe bet there. I know that Sam Jones Barbecue people. He's actually related to the folks from Aiden at Skylight. Started his own thing.
Yeah. If Pete Jones was his dad, the guy that started Skylight. Yeah. Yeah, he's got a bigger restaurant in Winterville called Sam Jones Barbecue. They have a bigger menu. Skylight is just going to be your whole hog barbecue, coleslaw, potato salad. Sam Jones is his expanded menu. You got smoked chicken along with the Eastern North Carolina barbecue, smoked turkey, does a sweet potato cornbread. So that's an option too. Definitely a good option. So Sam Jones, and like Dave mentioned, there's Parker's. Parker's is okay. If they want to sponsor, I'll say they're great. I have not tried Moore's. I hear good things about Moore's. I get a little nervous whenever you get into a chain and they've got four locations now.
Yeah.
The guy, Kyle, used to work for, the owner of Moore's used to work for, do you guys, are you guys familiar with Smithfield's Chicken and Barbecue?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I thought so. So he supposedly worked for them. So it kind of has, the Moore's kind of has the Smithfield's Chicken and Barbecue kind of feel to it. It's a good barbecue, but it's more, it tastes like that. So if you know Smithfield's Chicken and Barbecue, you know Moore's.
Okay. I don't want to derail us any more than I already have here, but I do want to follow up question here for Kyle. Now, I know what you're going to say about Kings, because I'd probably say some of the same things, mm-hmm. but because I think they've gone all electric.
Yep.
I think they have. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Now, and I get that. I'm on board with that. But how do I replace the pig and a pup, though? Because the cornbread.
Now, the pig and a pup is good. The barbecue sandwich made out of a hush puppy is the winner.
Put that in.
I would tell you for it, if you want to go to Kings, go to Kings. You know, if you enjoy it, go enjoy it. But
If I go to Kings, I'm going in the side entrance and I'm getting a pig and a pup to go. That's what I got.
All right. Well, if you're going to do that, you need to do that and enjoy it. Otherwise, you know, I said Skylight, but I would probably go Sam Jones will be easy for you to access if you're coming from Kinston. It's going to be right on 11. It's going to be on the wonderful side of Greenville. Just turn on Fire Tower Road. Sam's be on your right. And so Sam Jones may be a good choice if you, but maybe after a ball game, if you want to try something different, you want to sit down, they got a nicer atmosphere than Kings. Definitely get the sweet potato cornbread muffins if you go there. I would, but if you enjoy Kings, man, go get your pick in a pub. I just, you know, I live in LaGrange, which is right outside of Kinston. I'm not impressed with Kings, never have been. Again, if they want to sponsor this podcast, I will also change my mind and say they're great.
But, you ever eat at Ken's Grill in LaGrange?
Yeah, Ken's Grill. Their barbecue's got a good flavor, too much skin in it for me. I don't like a lot of skin and stuff in my barbecue. I like it clean, like Bees does it. But it is good. They only do barbecue on the weekends, so you can't get it during the week, but you'll be here on a weekend. So, yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
I've never actually met Ken's, but we met Ken. He and his buddies brought his center console over to Cape Lookout some years back, and they walked off and left it. They beached it to go fish on the ocean side, and they came back, and the tide had gone out, and we helped them get their boat back in the water.
not nice, very, very nice guy. I've had a chance to meet him. My wife knows his wife really well, and good people. And check them out. Check if you got time over the weekend. Ken's barbecue or Ken's Grill is their barbecue is definitely worth checking out. Like I said, you are going to find a lot of skin in the chopped pork. So yeah, I hope you don't mind that. Some people love that.
It can be good. It kind of depends. It depends on how it's done.
Hey, Bubba, Kevin, I think that we actually have a new we have a new podcast, a spinoff called The Barbecue Objective, and we have two hosts. We'll have both you guys on.
We'll do it.
Look, I tell you what, we're friendly. We're very friendly right now. Things might get a little tense this weekend, depending on how it goes. But after that, we can be friends again and talk barbecue.
There you go.
No doubt about it. In fact, EC Pirate Nation there, he said, come see me. He's going to be cooking a whole pig, I think, isn't he? In the jungle. I know Josh Thomas is there too. Those guys in the jungle, men and women in the jungle, are just outstanding. I don't know if you'll find them outstanding, but we really love them. And Pirate Nation is
definitely. Go find Josh Thomas and the guys in the jungle. Tell them the Sports Objective sent you, and they'll probably hook you up with the best barbecue you're going to have because they're going to cook a hog there and do a little pig picking on site. So,
Yeah, we talked to those guys on Twitter. That's the real deal. That's hardcore right there. Cooking a whole pig over the left field wall. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we thank a lot of those folks. Well, guys, before we let you go, how can folks find your work? We appreciate you coming on tonight. We had a lot of fun, and definitely it's going to be fun this weekend in Greenville at the regional.
And if you search for Diamond Niner Report on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, we're there. You can find us. We're mainly a Twitter platform. Although we do put stuff on Facebook, and more recently, my 15-year-old daughter is teaching us how to use Instagram. So we're trying to learn that.
Awesome, right, guys. We appreciate you very much, and we'll see how things turn out. And hopefully you'll come back on after the regional. It'll be great sometime soon.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you guys. Good luck this weekend, but not too much.
Let me go. Right, guys.
Have a great one. Same here. Right, goodbye.
I hope they finish second.
Close to first, but not first, right?
Yes.
that was a lot of fun tonight with the regional preview, special, if you will. And we got to talk some barbecue and baseball. And let's just hope they're not two in barbecue, right?
Well, I mean, if they are, they are. As long as we're not.
No, I'm talking about us.
Oh, yeah, no. We better not be doing barbecue.
Exactly.
Ooh, man, you talk about an empty regional, though. There will be nobody there. Good Lord, that'd be terrible.
Yeah, I'm not wishing that, and I don't want that for the Pirates, for sure. So, predictions, do we win the regional? Who wants to go first? Bubba, Kyle, do we win it?
I think if anybody on this show doesn't take us to win the regional, then you're going to have a pissed off Cliff Godwin if he hears about it. Yeah, I think we win it. I hope we run through it like a hot knife through butter and go 3-0 and out of here. But I'll say it before and I'll say it again. We've won a couple of these things out of the loser's bracket. So if we lose the ball game, keep your head up, Pirate Nation, because we've done it before. We can do it again. You can definitely win these out of the loser's bracket, particularly if you're the host team. But it sure would be nice to go 3-0.
Yes, well, let's hope we can do that. And Wisenhunt is going to be pitching. He'll get the ball first. We don't know if it's going to be at noon tomorrow or whenever it'll be. We'll have up. If there's a schedule change, then we'll let you know, guys, for that. And ladies, the Empire Nation, appreciate you listening and watching. And certainly you can listen to our great friend Corey Glory. He'll have the call 15 minutes before a first pitch and on the Learfield IMG Network. And of course, we'll have all the. We'll figure out when extra innings will be. Brought to you by Next Level Training Center in Greenville. I want to thank our good friend Trent Britt, and obviously, we also have the PGX Pitcher of the Week, and we'll have the PGX Player of the Week as well. And we'll let you know when extra innings is going to be. With the crazy schedule, we have no idea when the last game will be, and hopefully, we can talk about that. For sure, as Bubba has on the screen, if you're listening, don't forget to order your ECU season tickets. You can call 1-800-DIAL-ECU. You can go online, ecupirates.com. Get your season tickets today. We're going to have a lot of fun. All right, Bubba. Sorry, Kyle, do you have anything before we go?
No, just good luck to the Pirates. Hopefully the weather doesn't play too much into what goes on tomorrow and the rest of this weekend. And the Pirates can win this thing.
All right, friend Frank Durham says Pirates go 3-0 this weekend and take care of business. Thank you, Frank, for that. We're running out of time. Went a little long, but appreciate the guys from the Diamond Niner Report. That was 49ers Report. That was fantastic. Appreciate them very, very much, and look forward to the regional. All right, for Bubba Rosenbaum, we appreciate him very much for producing and being on tonight. Thank you, Kyle from LaGrange. Thank you, Corey Glore, Evan Volleva, and the guys again from the Diamond Niner Report. And we'll see you next time right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Udon Cheek, assistant track and field coach at East Carolina University. You are plugged into the Sports Objective podcast. If you are a fan, you are plugged into the right place. And if you're really a fan, you will share that link. My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode. Boom!